Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, dog? This is Keisha.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice Warp.
It's your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
Now, real niggas do real things, and I hang with the real. So if you fuck with my family, you fuck with me. Hey, UGS for life.
For all them fuck boys disrespecting the team. Flipping snippets from the show where they salute the name. The underground society, real talk on the scene. Y'all gon' fuck around, be left white chalked on the scene. It's UGS for life for you busters that don't know. I'm down with Praise and Mac J, the Murder Master Music Show. Archives of legends with questions you wanna know. It's why them whole shows be slick listening on the low. Using episodes for they shows with no recognition. More than suspicion. And you can hear Prayer's voice if you listen. Disrespect, I'm ripping. Bitch, I'm flipping. Kill their credentials whenever their name get mentioned. From Pittsburgh, Patrick, they gon' teach them some manners. Grab the ball bat and show up at they door in bandanas. For screaming real hip hop and supporting them swag. Show up at their club for breakfast, y'all are back. Take aim at a lane, put his career in the casket. I come to kill a Mac J, make them pay for their actions. They can't pay them, smashing in an orderly fashion. With no permission, I'm asking them.
Lash it and attack it.
Turning taxing for every question that's got me asking. You can steal from the real, but yet you still can't outlast them. UGS for life, that's steel to plastic. Got that iron in my blood, burn your soul like acid.
You know? You better ask, nigga. UGS for life. Where the real at? Punk ass niggas. www.ugsforlife.com. Where the real is at?
Hey, what's up, everybody? This episode 386 Murder Master Music Show. That's three M's and an S for you motherfuckers that need abbreviations. But add another M tonight because we got the homie Menicide, man. We got the homie Menicide. For those of you who don't know who he is, man, I suggest you look in, you know, the history of Michigan hip hop. We're gonna bring him on in a minute. Let's bring on the homie Pittsburgh Patrick. How you doing, Pittsburgh?
I'm good, brother. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm real excited and ready for Monday, April 3rd, because that's going to be the first episode of your debut show, the Hip Hop Roundtable. Man, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about that, bro?
Oh man, it's an honor, man. It's like a dream come true for real, man. So thank you for it, man. And really, it's
thank you.
I mean, the whole point of the show, man, is to continue to play good music, man. I mean, there's guests that we can't get on the show, or maybe they passed away or something, so we don't always get to play their music, man. But that's what this show's about, man, to celebrate the legends of our game and, you know, to put on some people that you should be hearing but you don't hear anywhere else. You know, cats like Menicide. Perfect example.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll be hearing all kinds of, you know, all kinds of music, man, and you'll be hearing our thoughts on certain stuff, man, and we can go a thousand different directions with it, man, so I'm excited, man.
Hell yeah. Well, we're looking forward to that. Again, that's Monday, April 3rd, you know, say 9 p.m. Central, UGSforlife.com. But, man, just to give you a little bit of a background on the homie Menicide, you know, he was there from the jump, wasn't he, pretty much? Give us a little bit of background on him.
One of those cats, man, he's like, he's one of those cats that when you listen to him, you think that he should be a lot bigger than he is, man. He's kind of like I compare his career to, like, MC Breed. He's somebody, he's like your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. You know what I mean? He's worked with you know, a lot of big names, man, and all of those guys, they love him, man. He's a great rapper, man.
Yeah, he's worked with the likes of Eshawn, Dayton Family, Mr. Ski, who we just had on the show not too long ago, shit, we're having Shoestring and the Dayton family on tomorrow. Prozac, or Insane Poetry, all kinds of different people. Let's bring him on and have him tell us himself exactly what his history is in the game. Menicide, what's up, brother?
Hey, what up? What up, though? What up, Murder Master? Hey, look. First of all, thanks for having me on the show, Chris. And congratulations congratulations on the new show you got coming up there at Pittsburgh.
Yo, thanks a lot, man. And, real quick, man, let me shout out Tom Scrub. He was showing you love and Real Suicidalist on Facebook, man. And I hit him up. I was like, yo, man, if you know, dude, give him my number. And he did, man. So really, I got to credit him for making this happen, man. So shout out to Tom Scrub and everybody in the Real Suicidalist. And thank you, Menicide, for hitting me up quick, man. You hit me up quick,
hell
too.
Yeah.
You hit me up that night, man. I appreciate you coming on the show, bro.
Yeah, we just lost his call, but call back in, Menicide. Yeah, man, the guy, I'll tell you what, man, I was just talking to him before the show. I remember getting his CD from like 07, 08. It was on Long Range Distribution. I actually did a review for it, but for whatever reason, Black Dog didn't publish it. Because I did hundreds and hundreds of reviews that were never even published. Because what he would do, he'd send us, you know, 20, 30, 40 CDs, and then we'd all get CDs on our own because people started sending us CDs. And I might do 50 or 60 reviews per issue, and he might only print 15. You know what I'm saying? So I remember him. I remember him, man. I remember checking out his music, thinking this is dope as fuck. I was telling Black Dog about him. For whatever reason, Black Dog slept, but we are not sleeping. You know what I'm saying? We got him here. Here he is again, the homie Menicide. We are not asleep, Menicide, because we recognize your talents and your history in the game. Where does that history begin for you, brother?
Well, brother, I just kind of want to finish up what I was just saying before I got cut off there by my phone, by the way.
Sure.
You know, coming up in Michigan, man, it would have been any independent artist's dream to appear in Murder Dog magazine. It's the coveted honor, man. And for years, I sat there and wondered for years. I'm like, how are these motherfuckers looking over me? How in the fuck did they? I know for a fact they know Menicide's name. They gotta know my shit.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I would just never get published. Motherfuckers would never hit me up to be in the magazine. I would see Esham on the cover. I would see dudes like Dayton Family, and then they would just skip a dude. But then, like Prez was explaining, you know, a lot of this shit was like a lot of people were pushing to have me in the magazine, but there was some hater shit going on elsewhere. You know what I mean? But
I
just wanted to show love.
Yeah, I mean, I had to eventually leave the magazine game myself before Murder Dog ended, but it got to a point, I'll just put it out there, it got to a point where it was either a straight-up psychopathic or straight-up strange music magazine, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Every issue was the
you
same.
Know,
this
see,
is towards
the, problem,
at the very end, though. But,
yeah, the problem
that,
with
that was
the problem
because, you know, it was isolating everybody else.
Yeah. That's the problem, man. Like, I see that with, like, a lot of the underground music outlets online and stuff. They want to just basically cover Psychopathic, Magic Ninja, and then Strange. And it's like, yo, these people got massive dollar bills behind them. They can push their own fucking promo. Let's talk about the dudes that are coming up.
Fucking Rolling Stone.
Yeah,
all
man.
That
there's
bullshit.
A lot of
yeah, if you look at our archive, not to cut you off, man, if you look at our archive, man, I challenge anybody to find a more versatile archive fucking anywhere. Because you're going to go all the way back to Grandmaster Caz in the early 70s to cats like yourself, Gangsta Nip, so many people, man. And we take pride and honor in being able to have that kind of platform. And tonight, we take pride and honor in being able to have you on that platform, man. Real talk. Because your story needs to be told as well, man.
Hey, it's appreciated, man. You know, the funniest thing is, like, I was checking out the archive, and I'm like, man, how did I not hear about these shows? They got all these legend motherfuckers on there, man. Look, they got C Murder. They got the homies and Dayton Fan. I'm like, this is a real-ass show. Where was this show back in the day? And then, bam, out of the blue, motherfuckers hit me up. And they're like, yo, Menicide, you shit's dope, man. We've been trying to get a hold of you to get on. I'm like, yeah, let's do it, you know?
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
To be honest with you, man, my brother, who just passed away last year, man, he he actually met you. He's from Flint. So I don't know if he met you in Flint, but he met you at a show, and he got a CD off of you, man. And I think it was a Dayton Family show. I don't know. I can't remember. But I listened to you, man. I'm like, man, this dude is dope, man. And to be honest, like, I went away for a little while. When I came back, man, you know, I just didn't see you anywhere. And then when Tom Scrub was in Real Smooth Vibes last week, he brought up your name, and I'm like, man, I need to find this guy, man. We get him on the show, and Scott saw it too. Fred saw it too, and hit me up. He's like, man, Menace would be a dope guest. And I was like, man, I'm already on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, break my stick like, man, because...
And I'm glad you hit me back. You know what I'm saying? Because you've always been one of them dudes, man. I mean, your shit's dope, man. It stands up to anything else that's out there, man. And, you know, I felt that it was necessary to get you in here, man, and tell your story a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm told that because
I appreciate
it was,
that, fellas.
It was in sync with the... You know, it's like once I heard of your name, like, yeah, of course, man, that's a must. Because I remember hearing your music. And the dope thing about it was, if you go back in our archive, there's actually an episode where I'm like, man, we got to have Gangster Pat on the show. Who has a connect with Gangster Pat? This is like show number like 15 or some shit like that. And out of the blue, we found him. So we're constantly looking for people like yourself, man. There's hundreds of dudes we want on the show still. You know what I'm saying? And we're just happy we got in touch with you, man. Real talk.
Hey, that's the blessing is all mine. Like I said, man, I mean, it's just you guys kind of know how, like, back in the day, the source was the Hip Hop Bible, the Source magazine. You remember that shit? Like, it was the go-to spot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we felt like that. We felt like that about Murder Dog growing up in Michigan, man. We was trying to, like, if motherfuckers had $5, they would get the Murder Dog over the Source magazine because we were guaranteed that top authority, the Dayton Family, Jake the Flake, all that shit, man, all that MC Breed shit. But like I said, man, as time progressed, man, and I knew for a fact I was making noise because anybody who's fucking anybody in Michigan, I've met them or worked with them. It just got to a point like, man, these motherfuckers, somebody over there probably hates me because I should be on the cover of this magazine, man. Why are they mad at me? What did I do? You know what I mean? But I'm thankful that we actually
mad
still
got it was just trying to convince, you know what I'm saying, the main guy to do it. Same thing with Necro.
Yeah.
I remember Necro used to put ads in Murder Dog all the time. And for the longest time, he didn't feature them. Never explain why. Just wanted to put him in the magazine. And I'd have Necro be like, man, what's up, man? Why can't I get in that motherfucker? You know, and you know, it's like, man, it's Black Dog. You know, my hands are tied. You know, but Black Dog, that's the thing about him. He does what he does. I mean, the people that he featured, you take away any dozen or two dozen of them, and you could fill those spots with a Menicide and a Necro. And it's just whoever got in there. You know what I mean? But you had people pushing for you to get in there on the fucking staff. You know what I'm saying? It was the same thing with Necro. He had people on the staff that wanted to have his CDs reviewed, you know what I'm saying, or have him interviewed in there. Like I was telling you before the show, I'm sitting on a Busy Bone interview that I did in 07 that was fucking phenomenal. He's talking about getting kidnapped as a kid, all kinds of shit. But for whatever reason, Black Dog, you know what I'm saying, powers that be, didn't want to put it in there. But, again, he's the editor. All I was just a writer. Let's bring on the homie Exit, only out of Jackson, Mississippi. What's up, Exit? You out here with Menace?
What's going on?
Tonight. How you doing, bro?
Oh, man, it's good.
And we're just chopping it up about how sometimes cats didn't get in the Murder Dog, you know. And you're 100% right, Menace, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people should have got in there. But in all fairness, though, same way with this show, there's 10,000 of you motherfuckers we want on here. And there was 10,000 motherfuckers we wanted in Murder Dog, too. But you did. It wasn't a thing of people ignoring you. You were being heard. It's just, you know, the right person might have been like, oh, I'll check them out. And then it's one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that Menicide? Oh, no, I didn't get a chance. You know. But, hey, here we are in 2017, you know, 10 years later. on the Murder Master Music Show. Different platforms, same thing. When did you actually get your start, though, man? Tell the people how far you go back.
Brother, look, man, I guess basically growing up as a teenager, man, I had a really rough life, man. Like, my father passed away when I was 7 years old, and I had a really wicked fucking – my mother was fucking wicked. You know, I don't know if you I don't know if you know what a narcissistic personality disorder is, but my mother was a wicked fucking witch, an evil bitch, and a psychotic fucking abusive, evil, manipulative, controlling bitch, the likes of which would scare your fucking brains to the core. And so growing up, I turned to music a lot to internalize and to get away from her because I was her punching bag. You know what I'm saying? I was that dude that if she had a bad day at work, she would come home, light a blunt, and then just walk by me in the hall and punch me in the fucking face or slap me or throw me to the ground and spit my – I mean, we're talking about a crazy bitch, dude. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. I started getting into hip-hop, bro. And strangely enough, my mother used, like, the whole I don't know, man. She couldn't get me to do what she wanted me to do for obvious reasons. She was beating the fuck out of me, you know, and being a bitch and shit. So, basically – I started getting into a little trouble, man, and my mother, being the controlling bitch that she is, decided she was going to be the one to call the po-po on me, and so I ended up in juvie, and due to my controlling mother, when I would lapse out of her control, she would always call the police and figure, all right, if I don't have control over him, I'll get the fucking police on him, and I'll get his ass locked up, and then I still got control, you know what I mean? And so, long story short, man, when I was 12 years old, I got locked up. I was locked up with dudes the size of grown men in there, and I was probably 80, 90 pounds. I was the smallest motherfucker, and I was so small that when I got into – it was a KCJC, Kent County Juvenile Correction. When I got in there, I was so small, they seriously contemplated putting me in with the girls because I was so fucking small. And they were so afraid that when I got on the yard that I was going to get fucking stomped out. I was going to get ashed out by the first motherfucker that this dude's brand new. We're going to take him out. You know what I mean? But it turned out they put me in. They didn't do that. They put me in B. I just told them, like, fuck that. Just put me in. Let me go. They put me in there. And within 2 days' time, I made friends with everybody in the motherfucker. I was the dude. You know what I mean? It wasn't a motherfucker in there that didn't respect me, didn't love me, didn't have my back. And it wasn't a man motherfucker in there that could touch me. You know what I mean? So one night while being locked down, I heard some beating on the wall. And I started listening, and it sounded like a drum beat. And this was black dude in the cell next to me was beating beats on the wall. And I'd already been listening to hip-hop for a long time, so I started beating some beats back to him, like boom, 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 you know, on the wall with the fist and the knuckles and shit. That shit will fuck you up in there because them walls are nasty. But long story short, man, when we got off lockdown and we get on the yard or whatever, man, and I started rapping. He asked me, you know, he said, yo, I beatbox, could you rap? I'm like, yo, I could come up with something. And I started rapping about being locked down and shit. And after I got out of there, yo, I've always been a fan of early hip hop, man. Like, I go way back with the shit in the Michigan scene. And once I got out, I'm telling you, man, I didn't have very much growing up. I didn't have a lot of money. I don't come from a privileged family. You know what I'm saying? I come from a mother that would rather spend money on a fix than get me a new pair of shoes for school or something like that. You know what I mean? So I had to tear. My first pieces of equipment, man, came from the fucking dumpster, honestly. The first shit that I ever recorded on, I went dumpster diving to find little pieces of music equipment and shit that I could fuse together with soldering irons and shit like that to make something fucking manageable to record with. And I started making hip-hop.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, that's...
hang on a second.
Yeah.
Okay, and so after that, you know, finally I got two boom boxes. I had a boom box, and my homeboy next door to me, lived next door, he had a boom box. His name was Roy. He was a black dude. And I was going through a rough time at school, man, because it was really a black-predominated school, and there was a lot of race wars and shit going on like that. So I kind of didn't fit in nowhere because it was a lot of skinheads in the school, and it was a lot of black dudes, and that was the race war back in the day. I did not fit in with the white people because I'm not no fucking skinhead and I ain't no fucking racist, even though I do shave my head. You know what I'm saying? But I just fit in with the black dudes, man. They just took me under the wing, and I was that dude. We freestyled at lunchtime and all that type of shit, beating on the lunch tables and shit like that. And the homie Roy next door let me borrow his boombox one day. What I would do is put beats in one and then put a blank tape in the other one and rap to the beat and record to it. And so long after all that shit happened, man, one day I seen an ad on television, man, for a local recording studio. And they were on the local news and they were showcasing them. And I was thinking, man, that's it right there. I got to get to a little studio. And so I called the studio up and they told me how much it was going to be. And back then, man, I had a crew of about five motherfuckers, man. It was me and my homie P-Dub, Paul Cooper from Greenville, Michigan, my cousin Rob, my brother Lil Greg, who got killed by a drunk driver later. We was a little crew, man. We was called Lost Cause. And so we put our pennies together, man, and we went to the studio. And that's when I first got a glimpse of how much of a perfectionist I was, man. We practiced for days and days for this one song we wanted to record. We get to the studio. This dude didn't have multi-track. It was more like a karaoke kind of scenario where whatever you recorded live to the fucking tape is what you got and left the studio with. So basically we went there, we recorded. Me and my boys, my brother, my cousin, and Peter, we recorded this song and then we left. And then I'm listening to it in the whip on the way home and I'm thinking, God damn it, I don't like it where that sounds. Like I ejected it and threw it out the fucking window. I said, we're going back. How much money you motherfuckers got? And everybody started breaking the pockets out, and we put the money together, and we went back, and we recorded it again. And we're driving on the way home, and once again, I didn't like how it was recorded. It was like always like my part, or it'd be my brother's part, or something like that. And so I threw the tape out the window again. I'm like, how much you motherfuckers got? Let's go, you know? And then I basically, man, I just developed this penchant for I know how music is supposed to sound, and it ain't sounding right, so we're going to keep going back till we get it right. And so basically we eventually got it right, man. We put out a cassette way, way back in the day in the early 90s. I used to go by the name in the beginning. They called me Mac Daddy L. And I put out my first cassette. It was called The Dark Side Diary back in the 90s. And I scraped my pennies together, man. And I got a bunch of cassettes pressed up. Ended up in jail the day the album come out. My homie, A-Ball, had to wait for the UPS truck to get there to get the cassettes for me. I get out of jail, man, and I'm looking at this box of cassettes like, there's no blueprint. You know, you hear about dudes like Yisham and shit like that, the legends of Michigan who did a dolo out the trunk, man, and you just sit there and you're looking at all these cassettes, and it ain't going to do you no good if you don't figure out how to do it yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But long story short, I started banging them hand to hand. I would hit all the homies up, man. I would hit the high school. I would hit the fucking parking lot. I was afraid of nobody. I'm a shameless guy. I walk up to anybody and sell them a motherfucking tape. They don't want to buy a tape, they're going to fucking buy a tape. You know what I'm saying? Like, even I just refuse to take no for an answer. If they weren't trying to buy it, they weren't getting rid of me until they bought a fucking tape. And eventually, Eventually, it popped up to, we started going to the malls on the weekend, man. I started pressing CDs through disc makers. And we would bring these CDs by the hundreds to the mall. And we would get together, man, and we'd sit in the whip before we walked into the mall. Because we were used to the routine. The security would chase us the fuck out for trying to sell. You know, you can't solicit inside the mall, you know, in Grand Rapids. So, we would sit out in the whip, and I'm like, look, man, we got 500 fucking CDs. There's five motherfuckers in this car. Every motherfucker in this car is going to sell 100 CDs, and we ain't going home. We're going to sit. I told them. I mean, I was just hard on my team. I'm like, we're going to sleep in this fucking car overnight as punishment for not selling 500 fucking CDs if we do not sell 500 CDs two fucking day. And let's get it. And we hit the doors, man, and we got it. And we sold 500 fucking CDs in one fucking day. Next week I was pressing up, and bro, we're not talking about, you know, the average consumer is like the teenage crowd and all that. No, man, we were selling them to everybody. We were selling them to old people. We were selling them to kids. We were just banging them at $5 a pop. You know what I mean? And so eventually, a few days later, we repress, we keep popping it. Pretty soon, man, the local news took notice, and they picked up, and they wanted to do a show featuring my music at the studio. They come out for one of my release dates for an album I called, had called In My World EP. And then basically, once they hopped on, the radio started to call. They started saying, oh, we seen you on TV, and you're this dude that's out there, like, hustling at the malls and hustling the street corners and hustling the post office. And you know what I'm saying? Brother, I came up with ideas that nobody's done. I go back to the way back days of flyer and parking lots and fucking, I would put 50 cents in a fucking newspaper machine where you buy the newspaper and open up all the newspapers and the fucking shit and put my flyer in them and close it back up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I come up with so many fucking, I figured out that at the post office, they have this lost and found board at the post office, like the lost and found mail. It's on like a cork board outside the office. And so, like, the thing is, people go up there and they look at that shit to see if they got any mail. And so I'm telling you, this is cheapskate, scumbag shit, but this is what I had to do to hustle, man. I would take my flyers and put them up there on that board because every time somebody goes up there, it yields an impression, and they're gonna hear the name Menicide, and pretty soon they're gonna know the name Menicide. You know what I mean? And so, long story short, man, I started just banging CDs, and I looked at all my fellow Michigan, the legends or whatever, Esham and them dudes, and I kept thinking, man, how the fuck are they doing it? How are they moving 10,000 units? How are they doing it? And come to find out, a lot of it was, they just made it look that good. You know what I'm saying? They just kind of made it look really good. It made it look sometimes like they were doing a little more than they were, and that's part of the hustle, you know? But to me, back then, I was thinking, no, they're really moving 10,000 units. I'm not shit if I can't move 10,000. You know what I'm saying? But long story short, man, I just started doing the fucking thing, man. I just started banging my CDs. I started linking up with people in Detroit. I reached out to Proof of D12. And then I hit him up. I'm like, what's good, brother? What's good on doing a song, man? Because, like, to me, he was the epitome of MC in Michigan. To me, there was nobody that could fuck with Proof. Because you got to understand about Proof. Proof was, he's a lot like me spiritually and mentally. Because say there was a beef between two artists in Detroit, before it got spilled over into the streets, and sometimes after and sometimes during, Proof was that guy that would mediate, and that's why they call him the mayor of Detroit hip hop, because he would step in and say, look, you two motherfuckers are taking it too far. Nobody wants to see you motherfuckers kill each other over a goddamn rap song. Why don't y'all come down here and battle instead? Or why don't y'all keep it on track, keep it on wax, that type of shit. He's a real fucking dude, man. That was a real fucking dude. And so I got in the whip. I drove to Detroit from Grand Rapids, Greenville area. I drove to Detroit and fucking, I'm talking on the way there, and he gives me an address. And I get to the address, and the door is locked. It's in Ferndale. And so I called him up. I said, yo, the door's locked. I see the camera. Can you see me on the camera? And he said, yeah, I'm going to send somebody out. And so the security dude comes out to get me and my homeboy, Ill Waves, at the time. And we go in, and he says, I got to finish up some shit here with some people. And then when I'm done here, we'll leave and we'll go to another studio where I'm going to record the verse for you. I said, okay. He said, but what you got to do is you got to keep real calm. Don't act like a fucking idiot or a fool or somebody comes in here that you recognize. And I didn't know what he was saying at the time. I'm like, I just told, brother, you ain't got to worry about me, because I know how to conduct myself and respect people, you know. But what he was saying was that he was essentially saying, Eminem's going to be here later. Don't act like a fanboy. Don't run up to this motherfucker asking for his autograph, which I would never do anyway. You know, don't ask him for a picture.
Actually, don't be a fan.
Yeah, basically, this is a place of business, you know what I'm saying, you know, and which I understood, and it was all good. So I sat down, and I was waiting for Proof to do his session, and I think they were working on the Obie Trice record at the time. And while I was in the lobby, I got to meet King Gordy, I met Bizarre, I met some people from Web Entertainment, And come to find out, the spot that I was at was 54 Sound, which is where Eminem records everything. You know what I'm saying? That's where he's recorded every album that he's ever put out. So I'm sitting in the lobby still waiting on proof, and this little short little white dude comes in with a light that for me. A little short white dude with a Red Wings cap comes in. Just kind of whisked right past me. I'm like, I looked over my boy, and my boy says, I think that's Eminem. I'm like, nah, maybe not. But we're watching the movie on the big screen, and I look back over, and it's the dude Eminem, and he's staring at me. And I'm like, man, I'm thinking like, several things are going through my mind. Number one, how the fuck did I end up here? You know, like, I'm just an underground dude from Grand Rapids, Greenville, yeah. Belding area. And, dude, you know, how the fuck did I end up in here with these dudes? And I'm looking at a dude that's got, like, a couple platinum records out, and he was staring at me. He was giving me a stare down. Like, where I'm from, man, that type of look only means a couple of things. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so I'm, like, trying to focus on the TV screen so I don't fuck up and get... Because I'm the kind of dude, man, you look at me a certain way, you know, it's going to get to a point where I'm just going to be, hey, what's your fucking problem? You know what I mean? I'm going to stand up and say, look, man, yeah, stop fucking looking at me like that or I'm going to smack the shit out of you. You know what I mean? But I didn't want to do that, number one, because you put your hands on Eminem, that's a rap anyway. You know what I mean? And number two, it turned out that I had it all wrong. He wasn't looking at me that way. He was just... He was whispering the proof, and from my perspective, he was looking at me that way, but he was whispering the proof, and then he would look back at me, and he would whisper the proof and look at me. And so, you know, from where I'm sitting, it looks like, all right, man, you know, it's like, come the fuck over already. Come walk over and say something to me or some shit, you know. But he just wanted, proof told me that he was just asking who I was and what the fuck I was doing there, you know, that's all. And I was like the only other white boy in the room, you know, so... I smiled at Eminem. I like, fuck it, I'll just see how this goes. I smiled at him and waved, you know. And then a few minutes, I turned my attention back to the TV, and a few seconds later, I turned over, and Eminem's walking up to me, and he stuck his hand out. He's like, what's up, man? And I shook his hand, and I just like, fuck it. I got up and gave him a hug, dude, because, I mean, it was that nervous tension for a minute because he was just really giving me the feeling like I was not welcome there. You know what I'm saying? For whatever reason, I just felt like I was not welcome there. But you got to understand that the way these dudes in Detroit operate, you know, they run a tight ship. Like me and my boys do back home. You know, they protect each other, man. You know, and M just wanted to know who the fuck I was, what I was doing there, and you know why Proof brought him to that studio. You know what I'm saying? But long story short, I got up, I gave him a hug, man, and we chopped it for a few minutes. I took some pictures with King Gordy. At that point, I could have took a – I always kind of always regretted this, man. At that point, I could have got a picture with him, you know, but I gave proof that the G – saying, get stick to the G code, don't take the camera out, you know what I mean? So based on the promise that I made proof, I just left the camera alone, and I didn't end up getting my picture with Eminem. Big motherfucking deal, you know what I mean? But I do respect Eminem. Don't get me wrong. I love that dude, man. He's incredible. That had been the second time that I met him. But you got to understand, I come from a different era of music, man. So, like, coming up, I didn't look up to this motherfucker the way these other dudes did. You know what I'm saying? To me, that day in the studio, he was just a motherfucker looking at me about the, you know, I was trying to take his fucking head off. He kept looking at me that way. But I didn't grow up on him. Truth be told, and people would say this is ridiculous because, God, man, Eminem is so fucking incredible. Don't ever mistake me for, you know, saying some shit or insinuating that I think he's trash or any of that. That'd be a lie. You know what I mean? But it's more like I just didn't know him either, and I was probably, most people wouldn't even believe it, but I was probably recording when this dude was, before he did. You know, I was probably selling tapes, and in fact, I know I was selling tapes before he put out the Slim Shady EP. You know what I mean? And way back in the day. And that doesn't give me any bragging rights or anything like that. I'm just saying that, you know, I didn't grow up on him. I grew up on Tupac. I grew up on Biggie, the Dayton family, and fucking Eazy-E and the whole NWA shit. I come from a different era, and then he pops up. He pops up at a time when everybody's just going hey shit over him, and he's and lyrically fucking incredible. And I agree, but and then I felt a little. I gotta keep it real. I felt a little tinge of jealousy, man, because I wanted to be the white dude to come out of Michigan. You know, I gotta keep it honest, man. I wanted to be that white dude. I wanted to be the white dude to come out of Michigan. And then this motherfucking, you know, I mean, he's just better. He's just way better than me,
well,
you know. Like,
time, if you remember, too, Minnesota, in Chicago, there was a rapper before Eminem called EC Illa.
I remember EC Illa. I talked to that dude back in the day.
Remember Live from the Illa EP, the EC Illa LP.
Yep, I had it.
You know, that was prior to the Marshall Mathers, the LP, and all that shit. So,
for sure.
But hey, men aside, hold that thought, brother. Let's go off in a, we're midway point in the show. Let's go off into one of these dope tracks, then come back and chop it up and bring some callers on. Let's give them this Pink Mist, man. Tell us about this song.
Oh, man, this song is crazy, man. Listen, I'm not only underground, man, and I not only do hip-hop, but I also do what is known as the wicked shit. And this is me and my homeboy, Saint Cinnamon, from a group we put together called Michigan Militia. He produced the beat. He come to my crib in Michigan, and we recorded this album in the course of a weekend, man. Just some wicked, wicked shit. Pink Mist is basically, it's a hard one to stomach if you ain't from my scene. It's about the inside of your fucking brains when they get hit with that slug, dude, the Pink Mist. Check it out. It's a dope track.
So yeah, we'll be right back right here on the Murder Master Music Show with the homie Menicide. Don't go nowhere.
They are sharpshooters who can hit the hearts of their target from 3/4 of a mile away. An impossible shot for you and me. For them, it's just another day at Sniper's Paradise.
I've mastered the blueprint of your crib in the pastures. Study the whole map to the path where the back is. I got the whole fucking perimeter captured. Padlocks and mental snapshots of the rafters. Front to backwards, I've mastered your movements. I know when you read, when you're back, when you're snoozing. I know where the booth is, the place where you practice. The bedroom, the bathroom, the basement, the address. I'm a savage and ace of forensics. I made me a path of escape through the fences. A passage awaits where they take you to trenches. Then bash up your face with them gauges relentless. You can bet this is not just a message. You set this in motion and open the death wish. I'm relentless, take this song and stick it to a post. And note that says if I die, this is who did it.
Pink Mist, the slug that get out of my range and expose the whole fucking inside of your brain. Pink Mist, it cover your clothes and brain matter. I got 350,000 waves that splatter. Pink Mist, the slug that get out of my range and expose the whole fucking inside of your brain. Pink Mist, it cover your clothes and brain matter. I got 350,000 waves that splatter.
I've been watching you for a while now. I know where you reside now. I'm telling you every move and even though where you lie down. I've been waiting for a minute to finally get it finished. For the perfect opportunity to carry out your sentence. To find a way to the tenant so you don't see it coming. I got the silence so no bystanders start screaming and running. The range is 500 yards beyond the backyard. The weapon's state of the art. No misses from this far. And it's hitting real hard so you instantly dead. And with my shells you'll be lucky if you even have a head. Left, right, last day I've been pacing. Up here in this tower just patiently waiting. Check the watch, it's almost 10 minutes to 4. In just a matter of moments you'll walk through that door. My arm's sore, you're walking in my fucking heart stops. I pull my eye to the scope and it's time to take the shot.
Pink Mist, the slug exit out of my range and expose the whole fucking inside of your brain. Pink Mist, it cover your clothes and brain matter. I got 350,000 waves that splatter. Pink Mist, the slug exit out of my range and expose the whole fucking inside of your brain. Pink Mist, it cover your clothes and brain matter. I got 350,000 waves that splatter.
In this case, the attacker, the sniper, got a little bit closer to his target than he has in the past, and may, according to one or two eyewitness accounts, may have emerged from the vehicle and raised his rifle and fired in the view of more than one witness.
Yeah, Yeah, that shit go hard as fuck, man. Let me bring out my co-host, Mag J. He's in the building. Mag J,
what's going on, man? I'm good,
bitch.
Man. That's... Hell yeah, that shit with that bumper, man. I like that shit.
Beating all this shit tight.
Hell yeah, man. Let's bring on, we got the homie Menicide, we got Exit Only. Menicide, yeah, that was some brutal shit right there, man. That was, now with the pink mist, you think of, the blood and the brain matter mixed together. I mean, that's some cold shit right there.
That's that wicked shit,
that
my dude.
That coming out?
That's on the album. That's out already on the album that me and my homeboy Saint Center did called Michigan Militia, man. That's just some serious wicked shit, man. Like, you know, I know you're familiar with horrorcore because you've had some of the legends on the show, man. But I'm telling you that right there, what you just played, that is the epitome of wicked shit. And that's because we know how to fucking do it, man. We're from Michigan. We invented some of it. We didn't invent all of it, but we invented some of it. Like I was talking earlier with my dude Omen. You heard of the Flatliners, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right.
I was on the phone earlier with my dude Omen, Trip 9 from Flatliners Massive. That's my homeboy, dude. Shout out to him, dude. That's a real motherfucking dude right there. But those are the people, Flatliners, to make no mistake about it, are the people who invented horrorcore. They actually invented the word horrorcore. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people need to get put up on that history because these dudes are from New York, and they're really big about that respect. They're respecting the architect shit, and so am I. Like, if you're going to get into a genre of music, you got to understand, you got to do your background work and understand the greats that came before you and whether or not you're going to be able to do them any justice or pay homage to it by doing the music that you do. So shout out to Omen, Trip 9, shout out to the Liners, man, my architects and architects of the wicked shit that we now call horrorcore, man, that paved the way for me and Saint Center to be able to make music like that right there. You there?
What's up?
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I
was
saying, man, it's good to pay homage to those before you because nowadays these guys ain't paying homage at all. You notice that? Like, these guys...
Oh, no, they just didn't, man. They just didn't.
Yeah.
Coming up the way that I come up, man, I'm well versed in hip hop. And we're talking all the way back to, dude, I know the first rap song that was ever made. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a nut when it comes to hip hop knowledge. And so, like, it's kind of the same thing with the wicked shit. You got dudes like ICP and Twisted, and you got massive people like Strange and people that fuck with the wicked shit on a nominal level. Those are all great artists, man, by the way. But, you know, sometimes I feel like the Flatliners take a big slap in the face for not getting shouted out or getting shown the respect they deserve for building that foundation and making it possible for dudes like Nip. What's that?
He didn't get the credit. Same with Gangsta Nip, too. He didn't get...
Nip. Yeah.
Also, as far as a beast.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I remember the cassette. I remember having the cassette back in the day. Also, another dude is Eshon, man. Who the fuck could deny what this dude has brought to, like, the devil shit, the wicked shit in Michigan, man? I'm telling you, bro, look, I told you a story about my mother, how crazy she was, bro. I'm telling you, you know what I love about Isham is that when I would play his shit, that bitch would flip the fuck out. It scared the shit. It was the only thing in the world that scared her was Isham and shit like that. She would come in the room, turn that devil music off. Yeah, she'd be like, turn that devil music off. Get that shit out of my house in the name of Jesus and all this shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, I love you, Isham. But yeah, you know, so Isham,
Believe in God album.
Yeah, man, I love, I got nothing but love for Isham and Nadas too, in a sense, because they kind of crafted it out in the Midwest, you know what I'm saying?
That's a huge loss right there.
Yeah, for sure, yep, a big one, man, a big one for us back home, man, because that's one-third of Nadas, and that's legendary status, man.
Yeah, I always felt that biggest losses that Michigan could possibly take. Proof, MC Breed, and TNT. And, like, those are the three, like, important pieces to all different styles of hip-hop that Michigan got, man. Losing those.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Bro, I got to tell you, I can never elaborate for you in words, man, how broke my fucking heart was when Proof died. I'm not talking about, brother, I'm telling you, the way this man treated me like his fucking brother when I came to Detroit. I mean, from the minute I walked in the door, this dude was handing me a Corona, giving me a swish of sweet. You okay, man aside? Everything all right, brother? Sit right here for a minute. I'll be right back. He'll come back 20 minutes later. You okay? You need another beer? You need something to drink? I'm sorry I'm taking so long. I mean, this is the most down-to-earth. I mean, the dude was already a millionaire at the point that he's fucking with me. He was already hyping for M. He already had, I mean, he toured the world over by then. And so we ended up at Sick Notes. Shout out to Sick Notes, man. Them Sick Notes, Soldier Boys, man, over off Gratiot and Kilbourne, man. I ended up over there. And that's where me and Proof recorded down in the basement down there with Firstborn and them. And, what a bunch of dope motherfuckers, man. Being down there in Detroit, because I'm not from Detroit. I'm from Grand Rapids. I'm from the 616. But being in Detroit, man, I was like, man, this is how motherfuckers are supposed to get down, dude. I need to move. Like, I need to, like, Proof lit such a, he lit such a fire under my ass, boy. When I left Detroit and went back with that master copy in my hand of that song we did, I'm like, man, my whole thought process was like, nah, I just got to talk my bitch into moving to Detroit. You know what I mean? Because I was so profoundly impressed by the people that I met from the hood down there and everything, man. Real motherfucking dudes. They didn't treat me different because I was the only white boy there, man. It was nothing but love. I mean, real, recognized real, you know?
Yeah.
All day.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about, man, because, you know, Proof, you know, he's one of them dudes, man. It just, you know, he was like the Soulja Slim of Detroit. You know what I'm saying? The Tupac of Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, nothing but respect to him. You know what I'm saying? His legacy, man. And I bet you, as an artist, that's got to be one of your high points as far as working with him.
It is, man. It really is. It always, forever in my heart, it always will be, because I love Deshaun Holland. That dude is, man, aside from Proof, that is Deshaun Holden. That is my spiritual brother, man. That's a Christian dude that is a down-to-earth dude. That is a dude that would take his shirt literally off his fucking back and put it on your body if you needed it. And I mean it. People don't understand. This is a dude that has, you know, he experienced a considerable amount of fame, you know what I'm saying, fucking with Eminem, plus the whole scene in Detroit. Anybody who's anybody in Detroit is fucking knows Proof and respected the shit out of Proof. You know what I'm saying? Like, you talk about a dude. I'm going to tell you the difference between a Soulja Slim and a Proof, man. A Proof is the heart of fucking Michigan. If you go down to, like, Soulja Slim's area and you say, yo, man, like, fuck Soulja Slim. I never liked this shit. That'd be one thing. Most people would probably just look at you like, okay, he just didn't like his music. You come to Detroit, you come to Michigan, anywhere in Detroit, and you're talking about fuck Proof, we're trying to take your fucking face off. And I mean anywhere from Detroit to Grand Rapids to Lansing to KZU. If you come to me and say, fuck Proof, I guarantee you I'm getting the cell phone out and I'm going to stomp your fucking face in and I'm putting it on YouTube. And everybody in Detroit's going to watch it. You know what I mean? Because that's how much that has nothing to do with any type of made-up manufactured respect, bro. It's 100% love. People just don't know that dude, man. To know that dude, you could never say a bad thing about him. You couldn't. You'd be a liar.
Yes, I'll tell you what. He left a legacy, you know what I'm saying, and hopefully, you know what I'm saying, more comes out about him in the future. I'd like to see a book, a documentary, something, because he meant so much to the city and to the scene. You know, hopefully that will happen in the future. We got a couple callers. Let's take one. Got one over here from Kentucky. What's up, 270?
Hey, what's up, man? I just wanted to give love to Menicide. Been down with him a long time, man. Menicide, the murder menace, the heavy hitter. Third shift, homie, man. Mr. Michigan Militia. What's cracking, dog?
Hey, homeboy. What's good, Swoop?
Hey, what do you feel like four-core seniors right now?
Long time no hear, Swoop.
Hey, love you, Prince, to death. I had to call in for my homie Minicide, dog. Been down with him too long. Got to.
Yeah, we actually did. We actually did a couple things. We did a show back in the day for my homie Incision, man. My homie Incision, to make a long story short, he got fucked up with a bad stripper, and she gave him some bad medicine, we'll call it. And he OD'd, and he ended up dying, and it really fucking broke my heart. He died. And so I hopped in and whipped, man, and this is a dude that I only met like two times, but I loved him so much. I'm just a fiercely loyal dude. If I got your fucking back, you got a friend for life. And so when I heard he was in the hospital, man, I called my manager in New York. I said, look, get to Michigan right now because this motherfucker is like they saying that he's on the machine and they're getting ready to pull the plug and come get me and we're going to Indiana. And so we went to Indiana and I went in there and said a prayer for dude, gave him a kiss, told him I loved him, and then they pulled the plug. Basically, after that, we decided we were going to do a benefit show for him so we could pay for his headstone and give his family a proper burial. And so what Swoop did, and a lot of underground artists, I basically tallied up everybody I knew in the underground. I said, look, Menicide needs a favor, man. One of the homies passed away, and his family needs to bury him, and I need everybody and their mama at this show. And so Swoop and KC from the Cath Row Criminals showed up, Third Shift Entertainment, man, at Simpkin Heights, Cap One, everybody, anybody that knew me or respected me or had love for me at all, man, everybody showed up. And one of the most gigantic shows in the history of Indiana, man, just all for the love of one homie.
Well, hell yeah.
I know.
And that's, wow, man, that's when you use the music to benefit, you know what I'm saying, somebody rather than not use it at all. I mean, that was genius. They did that with Rest in Peace to OG Wicked Cricket down in Houston. K. Reno did a similar thing. He did some benefits to pay for his headstone, man. They got him a real nice headstone. Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
Shout out to y'all for doing that shit. Real talk.
Yeah, man, it broke my heart because he was a real dude. He was a younger dude. He was one of them dudes in the scene that was like, he barely broke through, and I always look out for them dudes. Like, to me, when I was a young dude coming up, wasn't nobody trying to do no verses for me. Wasn't nobody trying to put me in the studio or help me out with no graphics. And then it was basically, fuck you, do it yourself. But I ain't that dude. I'm always trying to help the little dude out, you know? And so once I met him and took a liking to him, man, it was just a matter of, we got to go down and do this, man. His family's hurting. And, like, after the show, his surviving little brother, man, he come up to the merch table, to the Menicide merch table, where I had all these CDs, posters, bandanas, and all this merchandise shit, and he come up with like a $10 bill, and he wanted to buy a bandana. I'm like, what, little man, put that money back, boy. Go over there and get like three of everything on the table, man, you know? I mean, because his brother, he just lost his big brother, man. His big brother was like his dream, he was rapping. He wanted to be like his big brother, man, you know, and I told everybody that. I just started walking around. I get so passionate about it, you know, all the artists. I started walking around to all their merch tables and pointing that kid out. I'm like, you see that dude over there? That's Incision's little brother, man. Everybody take something from the table and go give it to him and go pick the dude up and give him a hug. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's what's supposed to be done, man. We got another caller, 616, area code.
Oh, yeah.
616. What's up, 616?
What's up?
Yeah, how you doing, fam? You're on here with Menicide.
Good. Hey, man, I just wanted to say thanks for putting it down for the whole city, and I just want to know if you're ever going to come back home and rock the show.
Hey, man, you know, that voice sounds so familiar. Who are you?
Mikey.
Hey, man, you know I'm coming back home, boy. Look, I'm out in Arizona right now for anybody that didn't know, but you know, man, these people in Michigan love me, man. I got to get back there and do a show, and I cultivated the scene out there in the 616. That's me, dude. I created that shit. But, yo, you know I love the 616, man. I got it tatted on my arm for life, and you know I'm going to come back there, man. You know it. It's just a matter of time.
For sure,
man. And
I remember when you used to rock the shows at the one spot on Bridge Street. I was a couple years too young, but I remember when you used to fire that shit. I think it was a Radio Tavern or something like that.
Yeah, the little spots like that. Yep, way back in the day, bro. For sure, man. Hey, thanks for calling in and showing me love, homeboy. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
stay up, man.
Stay up, man. Keep checking out the website, you know, UGSforLife.com. You know, we've been knocking out shows all year long, just, you know, doing a lot of stuff. But we've still got a couple tracks to get to, and then I want to close out this interview. But let's do this. What do you want to give them? Do you want to give them drugs, or do you want to shoot first? I'll let you pick, man. Decide.
You know what? Let's get into some real shit. Let's get into this Shoot First remix. And let me intro that real quick. Basically, this is called Shoot First, the Murder Scene Remix. And basically, this features the Dayton family, my homeboy and partner McNasty, who is fucking incredible. That is my brother, man. Shout out to McNasty. Shout out to Shoestring. Shout out to Ira Dorsey, a.k.a. Bootleg. Shout out to TDF from Flint Town. And also, Eshaw. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Hisham, dude. He's on this track as well. That's a real motherfucking dude. Shout out to him. Shout out to Nodis. Check out that new Nodis box set coming out March 31st. And anyone who's
nice
anyone
TV.
In the wicked shit. Yeah.
And a fucking DVD.
Anyone?
I'm scared
for sure.
To see the
check
price tag on that.
Say what?
I said I'm scared to see what the price tag on that's going to be.
I don't know, but I'm thinking whatever it is probably worth it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and
yeah.
he's talking about putting every Nodis release in the history of Nodis in there, plus a brand new documentary DVD.
Anybody
just on respect alone, anybody in Michigan needs to buy that fucking box set. And I'm saying that to all the Wicked Underground fans too. Show that man his respect, man. Because sometimes he just don't get enough of it, man. And he's an innovator. Support Eshaw, man.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And you got him, you said Shoestring, and who else is on there, Mastermind?
No. On this track, this is called Shoot First, the Murder Scene Remix. It's got Bootleg and Shoestring from the Dayton family. It's got my homeboy McNasty on there and Eshaw.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Well, we're going to get off into the Shoot First remix, then we're going to come back, close out this dope interview with Menicide. Right here on the Murder Master Music Show, episode 386. Keep fucking with us. We'll be right back.
Motherfucker, this Bootleg from the Dayton family. Fucking with my motherfucking nigga, Minicide. Boy, we finna shoot at you hoes again. Boy, I got 16 in the chamber, Minicide, and I'm riding for you, my nigga. So we finna ride out just like this here. Let's go. Bitch, I was taught by the best. So motherfucker, you getting best. In the murder game, I was trained to aim at your head, fuck your chest. I'm like a storm coming. Game banging, bullets is raining. Neighbors complain. The way we did that, boy, was fucked up. I'm a menace to society, ready to rob a minister. Niggas pass away every day, it's a homicide. Grimy and gritty, my whole city's like a war zone. My girl on the knees, and God, please help me make it home. And am I wrong for all the bullshit I done? Shot motherfuckers in front of my son. I'm dating with my attitude, six bitches running the table. I got an attitude problem, ho, I'm dealing with anger. If you a stranger, don't come at me wrong, and you're gone, I'm shooting. Blood on my clothes, hand on my nose. Just prepare to shoot first. Ask questions later, blast on these haters if they violate the cheat code. Bitch, we achieve more first. Throw your pistols up. Throw your pistols up. Throw your pistols up. Blast. Shoot first. Ask questions later, blast on these haters if they violate the cheat code. Bitch, we achieve more first. Throw your pistols up. Throw your pistols up. Throw your pistols up. Blast.
No fucking mercy on these haters when my gun busts. 45 on the side, bitch, immortal, I trust. It's no discussion, repercussion, he gon' meet his maker. Fucking with Titans, we gon' dice him and feed him the Gators. Dayton Raider, the motherfucking hater sprayer. My calico shatter holes and smash in the vapor. That fucking pistol spit out missiles and cut up tissue. A slug sickle, watch that motherfucking blood trickle. Bitch, I'm a pit bull, my whole motive is simple. Load up that pistol and open up your tempo. I keep that biscuit at the waist, my fucking homie. Run up, I stick shit in your face, that bitch always
shoot
me.
First, ask questions, play the blast on these haters if they violate the cheat code. Bitch, we in G-O. First, throw your pistols up. Throw your pistols up. Throw your pistols up. Blast, shoot. First, ask questions, play the blast on these haters if they violate the cheat code. Bitch, we in G-O. First, throw your pistols up. Throw your pistols up. Throw your pistols up. Blast,
coward rappers wanna be, but they're no factor. If it's on, we ain't finished till they toe tag ya. The chrome hammer full of hollers make your dome splatter. Ain't no tomorrow for your actors, that's a closed chapter. We roll with killers off they rocker when they smoke shatter. Beasts and villains like Chewbacca when you hoes gather. We'll send your soul to the raptor over bandanas. Ain't got no manners, just a clapper and some programmer. Heavy hitters today and family bootleg shoes bringing Sammy. My only concern is murder, so motherfuckers Grammy. We kick dough, let them blow and massacre your family. That shit'll happen from the man down to Mexicali. This is your grand finale, so if you acting up, you'll catch a hook from the Southpaw for yakking tough. I'll introduce you to outlaws and tatted thugs who never pull it unless they jump in the bullet and shoot first.
Ask questions, play the blast on these haters if they violate the cheat code. Bitch, we ain't cheat code
first. Throw your pistols up.
Minicide, we rollin' deep, peace as my street sweep. Any situation, get a cop, asking questions about my gang affiliation. Is it homicide, suicide, or my nigga minicide? The wolves know it's dinner time, so we finna ride with the AK-47 blast on these cocks. Fuck, let's take that for it. Fuck, I call up and my mom down me, gun is up upstairs. They miss shotguns, they blast me, they're looking at me crazy. I'm riding around and I'm looking, if you got the beef, I'm cooking. From inside, I'll kill your ass and be in central booking. The cops got me was looking for a nigga that was shooking. Left his body in the freak on the hook and I kept it pushing. Remember, get your loot first before you do dirt. Before you catch a new hearse, I'ma shoot first.
Shoot first, ass
pussy,
play the blast on these haters if they violate the street code.
Yeah, motherfuckers, it's the murder mitten menace. Minicide and bootlegging this bitch, boy. Finna squeeze off one more gear to two hoe ass niggas. We don't fuck with busters. Minicide, let's ride out. Let's go.
Shoot first. Ass pussing, play the blast on these haters if they violate the cheat code. Bitch, we in G-O.
Man, that shit was fire. That shit was fire. And I'm telling you what, Shoestring is going to be on tomorrow night, same place, same time, UGSforLife.com. You know what I'm saying? He sent me some fire, too, which you're going to love that, man. But that, yeah, Menicide, that was dope as fuck.
Hey, that's good. Hey, thanks, man. Hey, let me shout out my producer, man, and my partner, Saint Center, who did a hell of a job. He busted his motherfucking ass dealing with all of my bullshit, like, yo, add this, take this out of the beat, add this. Shout out to him, that's my homeboy, dude. He worked hard to bring that together, and in a certain sort of sense, he's kind of responsible for making, bringing all these greats together on one track, man, so shout out to him. Also, shout out to Esham, shout out to my homeboy Raheem, who is Shoestring of the Dayton family, shout out to Ira Bootleg, and definitely a major, the most major shout out to my homeboy McNasty, that is my brother, man. I couldn't have done that track without none of those people, man.
I wanted to ask you about McNasty. You guys got a duo, right, man? The Heavy Hitters? That's you guys?
Yeah, we got a group we've had since probably 2004 or before then called the Heavy Hitters, man. That's my partner, dude. I don't make a single fucking move in this shit without him. That is my brother, dude. I mean, like, my real brother was killed in 97 by a drunk driver, man. He got killed and I was fucking devastated and it broke my fucking heart. I do have one brother left named Chad, and thank God for that. But aside from him, the closest thing I got into this whole planet for a brother is McNasty. That is my dude, man. And I love him with my heart, my soul, my passion and everything. So, I mean, He's an incredible artist, man. Like, right now he's working on a new record. He just did some shit with copyright. A lot of people don't know about him. Like, that's another OG right there, man. That boy's been coming up in the Midwest scene for a long, long motherfucking time. He's worked with some phenomenal people, too. He's also on the song that I did with Proof. So, shout out to McNasty, man. Dudes need to get up on him and check out his music, too.
Yeah, man. Connect me with him, man.
Yeah, we'll bring them on, man. That's what we're about, man. We got this platform so guys like him can tell their story. And, yeah, man, that's what I'm talking about right there. You know what I'm saying? We'll
that's
bring
what it is,
on
man. Hey.
Or bring them on solo, too, you know.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, like that is a dude that you definitely want to have on the show because that's an OG with a lot of history, a lot of stories about the underground, everything from the Insane Clown. Did you know that he was the first dude way back in the day, the first dude to ever win a contest from Psychopathic Records for an MC contest? He was the first dude ever. That's him. You know what I'm saying? Like he's the first dude to. Man, dude, he's an innovator, man. He's got a lot of history in the underground. He's highly respected and loved by everyone, myself included. So I would definitely say I appreciate that if y'all did put him on the show.
Yeah, put me in touch with him. Put Pittsburgh in touch with Mac J, and we'll bring him on for sure. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's about, man. And as far as you, though, before we get out of here, I want to make sure we plug everything you got out now and everything you got coming out. Just, man, I'm going to give you the floor, give them your social media, and then let them know what you got coming out, man. You got the floor, brother.
All right. Hey, yo, look, everybody listening, look, my name is Menicide, man. I didn't come up with no record label, man. I didn't come up. Nobody handed me no deal. Nobody said, here, this is how you do it. I'm a self-taught person, man. I studied from the ground up by teaching my fucking self by trial and error, man. Nobody handed me nothing. I struggled. I scraped by, and I strived every fucking day to get where I'm at. And so I ain't one of these dudes that tries to play to pop all that superstar shit, but I know my shit, and I've been around, and you ask around motherfuckers in Michigan. You ask the Dayton family. You ask Isham. You ask anybody in Michigan, they're going to tell you that white boy Menicide gets the fuck down. But you can check my shit out at Menicide.com, also Facebook.com/Menicide Music, Twitter.com/Menicide. I'm working on a new album right now called Kamikaze, and it's gonna be monumental. It's gonna lift the fucking underground off its block all over again. It's gonna be phenomenal. I got Yisham appearing on it. I've got separate songs with Bootleg and Shoestring and the Dayton family. My brother McNasty is gonna be on the shit. Mastermind Anonymous is gonna be on there. Dice from, Monkey Joe Dice from the Sick Group of Poe Hussein is going to be on it. Shout out to Dice and shout out to Poe. That's some real motherfuckers right there. Shout out to. What's that?
We just had Poe on last night.
Yeah, I was listening. That's a real motherfucker right there, dude. That's a real motherfucking dude. Shout out to Poe.
Yeah, shout out to both of them guys, man. Dice is a real good man. Same with Poe.
Yeah.
Too, man. I can't wait for that album.
Yeah, it's
word
this,
up.
This is gonna be dope. I can't wait, man, to check it out myself. If you don't care, send it to me. I'll do a review over at UGSreflex.com. I'd love to review it. Since the one back in the day didn't get printed in the Murder Dog. You know what I'm saying? This one's guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Hey, I appreciate all the love, and I just want to shout out my favorite people, man. I want to shout out the Wicked Underground. I want to say what up to Genosha X, man. All my dudes out there that got bars and shit. Look, man, I'm going to tell you the history. Like, female MCs have always been, like, hit and miss with me, 99% miss. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not being bogue. Shout out to Boss in Detroit. That's a real-ass bitch right there. No disrespect. But that's a real MC right there. But, yo, there's a chick in the underground coming up right now. This is chick in my scene, dude. Her name is Genosha X, Genocia-X. Look out for her because she's on the come up, dude. She's got bars. She's brutal. She's crazy. She just did a verse on my album the other night that made me think, wow, like, holy shit, how am I going to compete with it? She's crazy. So shout out to her.
Yeah,
shout out to her.
Once again, send her our way,
yeah.
Brother. That's another one.
Shout out to her. What's that?
I heard her shit, man. She is dope. Where's she from?
I don't know originally where she's from, but right now she's in Ohio, I think. And she actually, my dude, Satan Center, that's his girl, man. She gets down big time, man. Like, you see all these labels and shit. Like, you say Psychopathic, for example, where they were signed Blase Rose and they had Tally Demon back in the day. This is the chick that they could have saved all that drama and all that bullshit with. And guess what? She actually has talent, too. And Tally Demon had talent, too. But I'm just saying, this chick's got talent, man. And anybody looking for a real MC that can spit them fucking balls, this girl will tear a hole in your ass, boy. She's crazy. She goes hard on the mic, man. Genosha X. Remember that name because she's on the come up, man.
Genosha X. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. And what if cats want to get at you for a verse or for book a show or whatnot? What's the best way they can reach you?
The best way to reach me is at menicide@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can hit me on the Facebook. You can hit me on the website for big booking inquiries and verses or anything like that. Get at me. I also want to shout out AXE, who are big in my scene right now. I want the whole Wicked Underground to know that no matter who wins that award over at the Thego Lovers, we all already know AXE won the fucking award. Have you heard of AXE?
No, not yet.
You ever heard of Ala Zulu Yula?
Yeah, Zulu Yula, man.
Oh, they go in, dude. They're so fucking crazy. Like, me taking a break and coming back from the break and coming to the scene, and then I find these guys, and they got it locked down. They make some of the sickest horrorcore music I've heard in a long fucking time, man. Shout out to them. And shout out to Psycho Jesus, man. Shout out to all my homies in the Wicked Underground scene. Shout out to Swoop. All of them, man. Too many of them to name. I got too many friends, man. I got more friends than an average dude, man. But shout out to everybody and thank you for the love, man.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it. And let's leave our listeners with a whole bunch of drugs. Intro to this song is We Outro. And thanks again, bro.
Hey. All right, then. I missed you, man. Say it again.
Yeah. That song called Drugs, man. Do that to you. It'll do that to you. If not Drugs, man. Tell everybody about this song before we go in a sec.
Yo, this is the joint right here, man. This is like, because that's what I'm saying. When I walk into a party, I'm trying to leave everybody with drugs. So what a perfect way to end the party, man, and the show. Yo, this is the track that I did with the homeboy Proof, a.k.a. Deshaun Holden, a.k.a. the mayor of Detroit Hip Hop, a.k.a. a real motherfucking dude. Also with my homeboy McNasty, originally from Oklahoma City, now out here in AZ with me. Man, incredible track. Proof did the hook on this. He started the whole thing for this, man. A great fucking song. Shout out to Proof. Rest in peace, Proof.
Rest in peace, Proof. Shout out to you, Menicide. Thanks again for coming on the show. This is the end of episode 386. This is Menicide, McNasty, Proof, Drug.
Pow, nigga! Menicide.
Drugs. All we are drugs. All we want is drugs.
That'll drink and fight dizzy. The X and Xbox got me thinking it's Fight City. I spike the Philly with angel dust and white powder. Go to Nicole Simpson's grave and yank the knife out her. I can't be trusted when fucking with the acid. I start sparking matches and that's when accidents happen. I've been known to crush the shit out of some Tylenol. Start climbing walls and doing songs that don't rhyme at all. I'm just a sick ass Michigan menace. I get so high up this lettuce that I can finish my sentence. I pop some shit to a bodybuilder when high as hell. Rob whips some Morty dealers with light in the L. I start fights with myself for the quick minute. Got my ass beat in the booth and I was the only one in it. And it's the minute I'ma spark another buzz. Can't wait till the song's over cause all I want is the drugs.
Drugs, drugs, drugs. All we want is drugs.
Tyson fight dykes. How your heart rate slow up, you see the tunnel with bright lights. I beat the shit out of white knight and smack nuns. Start a shootout with cops with cap guns. I be black blums to gangbangers to gangster, insane strangers. I shank wanksters to famous anchors. The kids don't like you like broccoli soup. So these 12 busting at you like a rocky troops. I ain't never been in
side and kill gangs with minicide and ill ways. I gate the biggest gangs in like 10 fields. My crew run the street like treadmills. How the land feels, burning your skin follicles, turning to midnight. You were learning, I bitch shot at you. Dot in the eyes, leaving with black sockets. The high as the clouds, driving around with John in my back pocket.
Drugs, drugs, drugs. All we want is drugs, drugs, drugs. All we do is drugs, drugs, drugs. All we do is drugs, drugs, drugs.
I sport a Machiavelli shirt and curse big in bedside. Drive by my crib, cross side and let the lead fly. Kill my ex-wife, ditch the knife and catch the red eye. I'm 2 tabs of acid, my ass cop from Jedi. World's decay, praying none of this is wrong. Hit a honky toss and unload barrels like Donkey Kong. Proof had me tooting hookers and bongs. So I come way iller than the dude that got cut from the song. I'm just a sick-ass Michigan menace. I get so high off the sentence, I just don't menace, I'm sentence. Ski jump, yay, and cut coke with broadswords. In the Ford clinic, popping pills with Kelly Osbourne. Salvia extract had his neck snap worse than Whiplash attack.